Hi, everyone. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. This week, we're going to be talking about more changes or more updates coming to Facebook once again. That's 2 weeks in a row we've talked about Facebook. So today, I'm drinking a Full Bloom craft lager, and it's a giant bottle, so I look like I have a really tiny head. Who else is here?
I am Danielle, and I am a social media specialist, and I'm drinking a Sam Adams Summer Ale, a little premature since we just got a lot of snow this week.
Yeah, I know.
I'm Josh Mendelson, and I'm drinking a Southern Tier IPA, which I've never had before. It's quite good. Quite good.
Azure Collier, social media education developer, and I'm drinking a Diet Coke because the beer cart sadly did not have beverages for people who don't like beer.
I guess imagine
I'm
that
one of five
cart.
People at the company.
I'm gonna start adding beer. You're like secretly adding beer to things that you eat, so you start to like, oh, I kind of like that.
Is that beer, is it?
And I'm Erica Ayotte. I'm our social media manager, and I am drinking a Matilda Belgian-style pale ale. Thank you.
So we've got three things to discuss what's going on with Facebook this week. And one of them is Facebook changes the cover photo policy. There are lookalike audiences, a new way to reach potential customers through their ad programs. And then to improve conversations, Facebook is going to launch a reply feature on the most active threads for popular pages and profiles. So let's talk about the changes to the cover photo. Somebody want to give us a little heads up on what that means?
I will give the heads up. So recently Facebook has put out this new rule a couple months ago about your cover photo only having 20% text, which is a little bit of a pain. But they also have a lot of other rules about no call to actions, no website names, no like this, or any kind of really standout marketing type text. But that just went away. So now you still have to have only 20% of your photo be text, which you can actually use a grid that overlays on your photo to really check out how much, what percent you are using, but at least now you can really point out a sale you have, or maybe you're hosting a trade show or an event or something that you have coming up, or really just even point to something, say like us, or point to a download that you have with a social campaign.
I think this is a great change.
So do I. Yeah.
I mean, this is just like a no-brainer. Like, it's, I kind of get the fact that when they first started with the cover photo stuff that they didn't want people just going crazy, like, buy this, do this, blah, because you know that would happen. And you know that would happen. But I love that, like, now it's kind of like, all right, people get it, they weren't doing that, but, like, now it just makes total sense to, like, I love that they still have the 20% thing, because that kind of just helps from a design perspective. Because like,
it helps limit the amount
of like, you know, so like, it actually helps you market better, because you're limited by the amount of text that you put on there. So you do things like, maybe you have a single call to action. You pick out something particular you want to focus on each month. Like, it gives you really cool reasons on why you would want to beep. Like that, no. Cool reasons why you would, you know, want to update your cover photo and like,
right.
Maybe.
Well, I think
support
you just
of a particular
touched on
campaign,
something, right? So
you know?
I think there's
sorry
two.
Sorry about that.
No, no. It's good. So,
all
so,
professional here.
Right. Yes, yeah. I think there's two really interesting things. One, I remember when this first happened, where they set all these rules about cover photos. We all kind of sat around going like,
really?
Really? Like, why are you killing marketers? But I think I think this is a really smart sort of change, although they didn't really broadly publicize it. Like, other people publicized it. Facebook didn't make a big deal of it.
Of course they didn't.
Right. But I also...
You need to do that. Give
yeah, but I also
it.
Think it's really smart because it encourages people to change their cover photos more often and engage as a page more often with their audience. So I think a lot of companies... You know, we don't do this, but a lot of companies, like, they kind of set it and forget it with a lot of the elements of their Facebook page. I think this encourages you to be constantly using your cover photo to help market your business, which is smart. I think that's a step back towards the right direction from a marketing standpoint about what Facebook can offer.
Now, when, say, one of your friends likes another page on Facebook, in your newsfeed, it will say so-and-so liked Constant Contact, and you'll see their whole cover photo and their logo, not just their logo anymore. So
yeah,
it will get a lot more exposure that way.
So that's actually a great point. So, like, if you have... Like, I think that's a great opportunity for you to think about if you have something special that you're offering or something like that. Like, it's a great opportunity to have that exposed, because you can use that cover photo now to kind of... So let's say you're running, like, something like a social campaign, right? That you can actually go in and be like, oh, yeah, you know, you'll get this free guide, or, like, download your free guide or something like that. So that if somebody does see that, they're like, oh, it might give incentive actually to get people to click through two timelines, which is pretty cool.
Right, yeah. So I think that what at a top level, what Facebook is doing is really forcing the image-based marketing on their platform. And so when you do change your cover photo, for you guys who don't know, it will show up in the news feed.
Yeah.
So that's number one. So every time that you do change it, you basically have the opportunity to have a large photo in the news feed of your fans and followers.
Yep.
So, you know, I would think about changing that up strategically. Like, if there's a timing aspect to it, think about that. Not trying to spam your customers all the time.
Right.
So if you have, like, a new sale every other week, I wouldn't recommend doing that, because eventually, you know, not only will your folks kind of tune that out, but there might be a lot of negative feedback to that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of play around and see. But again, it really goes along with the whole way that Facebook and all other social networks are really focusing on image-based marketing.
Yeah. And I think it also points to that, like when you say image-based marketing, that it actually points to the importance of having an arresting kind of image that captures your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, as you say, you don't want to overdo it, but it actually, I mean, is a kind of nice, subtle way to sneak a message in there.
And to your point, like, great marketing, great images, arresting images. I really liked that adjective that you used there.
Thank you.
Just because you put something on Facebook doesn't turn, like, crap into gold. It's still crap,
right?
And there's a lot going on Facebook, so the better your content is, the better that's going to work for you. And to Danielle's point, you know, what might work really well with the, you know, now that you, when you like a page, she was saying you'll see the cover photo. You know, when you switch up your cover photo, you might want to think about using some advertising, like sponsored stories, if you're going to go down that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way to pour some gas on that fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely cool. All right, let's talk about lookalike audiences. And so this is basically a new way to kind of reach potential customers. And actually, another thing that I think that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, so this is just another, again, another advertising product from Facebook. And so what it is the feature's already live. And what it allows you to do is to, you know, before you could target ads based on different types of demographics, location, age, gender, all that kind of stuff, the normal type of stuff that you're able to target off of. But, you know, Facebook as a platform has a lot of information about us and a lot more than you think, and all of our friends and how our networks are interconnected. So they're able to offer this product called Lookalike Audiences, which helps advertisers or brands find new folks, new potential customers, new people to bring to their page through the likes and interests of people who have already liked their page. So the difference here is that they're finding a newer audience, not just based on age, gender, you know, really top-level demographics. They're really, I think, diving into what we could call psychographics. So what do people like?
Yeah.
Who else, you know, who else are they connected to? What do they enjoy? And how do we find new people who might like our page based off of that?
And is it just people that like the page, though? Because I think what happens with this is now this is based off an email address. So what you're doing is, so let's say you have like a list of VIP customers in within your email contact list, right? You can export that list, upload it to Facebook. Facebook doesn't save the information, but what they'll do is they'll match whatever email addresses that people have used to sign up for Facebook with, and then they'll match the interests of those people with the people that would be lookalike. I'm using air quotes. Lookalike audiences. For you playing along at home, I'm using air quotes. So it would match with those folks. So it's actually, I don't even think it's more than just people who like your page.
Right,
it's
exactly.
People connected to those folks that look like.
Again, emphasizing the importance of having a contact list, actually, so actually, Facebook has a couple different or at least now this is the second advertising product that's based off of email.
Yeah.
They have another feature which allows you to target ads
to the folks who own
those emails. So you can even do customer marketing on Facebook. Say you're coming out with a new product, or it's only appropriate for current customers, or there's a deal specifically for current customers. You can use that product to target those folks. And so, again, like really entwining and emphasizing the importance of using your social networks to get that contact information.
So here's why I really like this, is that I think it really speaks to, you know, we talk a lot about engagement marketing, and the whole idea is that you're starting with your existing customers and then using them to get in front of people that are similarly like them. And, you know, those people are great candidates to become your future customers. And I think this adds a layer to that where you're saying, like, yeah, you know, you have folks that are interacting with you and you're seeing those interactions, and that's how they kind of get exposed to you. But now you can actually take that to another level and kind of, you know, awareness kind of advert. Like, you know, it's like when
right,
you're...
Right, it's
when
top of funnel.
Yeah, it's
middle.
Like, you know, when you're looking to buy a car and you're thinking between a couple models, all of a sudden you see the model that you're thinking of buying everywhere. Like, you know what I mean? And I think if you see your friends interacting with the page, you're still having that engagement, and then you're also able to target them before they've even liked your page, they'll start to see your ads. It's kind of like one of those things
right.
that kind of gets you front of mind. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's kind of cool.
And, yeah. and the traditional, the old... marketing adage was that it took 7 touches
mm-hmm.
or it's, you know, 7 impressions. Shut up, Josh. and stop poking me. before an advertiser or before a potential customer, before a prospect would become a customer. Now I think it's actually a lot more just because there's so much mm-hmm. noise in the marketplace that by having a combination of both organic
and
viral
yeah.
and paid
yeah.
touches, stop it, Josh, are just going to reinforce your entire brand message.
Yeah.
And, of course, the foundation of that, at least on Facebook or
yeah.
really in general,
yeah.
is having a great Facebook page with great content that people really want to like
yeah.
and share.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that, you know, Facebook has – so when they changed the timeline and they got rid of – welcome pages, they did a lot of stuff that was sort of anti-marketers,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they were really focused on the customer experience. I think that
mm-hmm.
was, you know, there was a lot of merit to that, right? But,
saying, yeah.
well, yeah, but I think what they've done recently over the last few months is try to get back into the good graces of marketers. You know, I think what happened is there was this big promise of social media marketing, and really it wasn't paying off. I mean, for most companies, they weren't getting the results that they were looking for.
Well, I would take issue with that because I think that companies weren't finding the results because they were only looking at Facebook in particular as a direct response
right.
mechanism,
right.
and that's not exactly how it works.
And they were funding it as a direct response
exactly,
mechanism.
Exactly, with a fully blown social CRM system where you can see which of your customers are, you know, part of your Facebook
but
ecosystem.
Very few people are doing that,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So I think, you know,
it's
whether right or wrong,
question.
You know, like, I don't know that people had the right expectations of what social media marketing
exactly.
could do for them, but they weren't getting the results they were looking for. And I think Facebook's
these
seen that.
These aren't the results you're looking for.
Exactly. I think Facebook's seen that, and they've tried to put some things in that are much more measurable, direct response oriented for marketers so they can keep getting the ad revenue that they need to survive.
Yeah.
I see also two areas that this would work great for: event marketing, if you're trying to fill some seats, so people who
yeah.
like the people who like your page, and nonprofits, if you're trying to do some fundraising,
yeah.
find people who are like your base, like your members, your supporters.
And I mean, I think this also kind of touching on the two things that you're both saying is that this really kind of puts to the forefront the idea of thinking holistically about your marketing, right? Because, I mean, just think about that for a second. If you can send an email out to your existing list, right, let them know about, let's just use an event as an example. Right? You're having this particular event, okay? It's not always 100% likely that the first time somebody hears about something that's when they're going to take action on it, right? But think about if you send an email out and then they see it there for the first time, they still don't take action. Then you go on Facebook and they see something on Facebook, or maybe they're engaging with something that you do. And then there's that ability to kind of use ads to kind of get that, you know, still have that information there. So it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I know what they're talking about. So it's still there. And then on the back end, you end up sending like a reminder email. And then like that's the point where, oh, you know, I've gotten an email. I've had some engagement on Facebook. I've seen an ad about it. And you're like, oh, this is where I need to actually take the action on it now. Like, it's just...
You've annoyed me into
submission.
Yeah, right.
Well,
long enough.
But I would say if you do it correctly, I mean, you're not annoying people. It's just
right.
you're showing them, like,
being
you're being different. You're doing different ways. Don't use big words. You know? I'm kidding. I know what it means. But, you know, you're just able to kind of get in front of people in a more holistic way on the places that they're hanging out. And I think that's really cool. I mean, on the other side of that, I mean... You know, Facebook has been really smart in the way they've kind of created this environment where, ads make sense because, you know, we're only showing stuff to 16% of the people. But that's a whole other story. We've talked about that kind of before. But I still think this is also another cool kind of change. Yeah?
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Third thing, to improve conversations, Facebook is going to launch a reply feature within the comments.
Yay.
And that's, I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer, right?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Ash, you want to tell us a little bit about what's going on with this?
Yeah. So it looks like right now this is only going to be available for pages that have 10,000 followers and up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to start threading comments.
Yep.
And also putting comments at the top that have the most interaction. Also, depending on who the user is, if they have any friends that are involved in the conversation,
yep.
those posts will be moved up to the top too.
So basically what that means is that if let's say you're having, like, I guess a good example for what we do would be we have Facebook chats, right? So let's say we asked a question and somebody was like, oh, yeah, but how do you do that? And we could directly reply to that person and say, this is how you do that, Joe, you know, without having to tag them, or actually sometimes you can't tag people, but without having to do that, you could actually just reply. And then somebody watching the page or looking at the conversation could actually see the threads of that conversation.
It's more like your typical blog comment.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way. It's basically like a blog. But, just the added step to this is that it's going to add kind of an algorithm to it, like EdgeRank, and it's going to say, if you're connected to somebody that's been having this conversation on a page and you go to look at it, you're more likely to see their stuff, or you're more likely to see the most active conversation around something. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is such a no-brainer. You know, it's sort of, if you're, like, it's almost not, it's not that it's not worth talking about, but I don't know why they would only roll it out to pages with 10,000 fans. Like,
it
should be
like
rolled,
a limited,
it'll be rolled out universally, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you can, to be clear, you can opt in starting March 25th, which is Monday or today,
if you're
listening in today.
Yeah,
that's true. And then they'll roll it out to all users, I think, on...
Is it July?
July 10th. So it's probably just a limiting thing for them if they're changing some of the functionality around it.
Yeah, it probably just sounds like
it's
a small
rollout.
I'm sure
it's just a
rollout
plan.
So, you know, maybe if by the time this post is up, maybe we'll have like a page that you can kind of opt into it or something like that. And if we do, we'll include that in the post. So, I mean, overall, I mean, we're looking at kind of three kind of cool updates to Facebook. I mean, if I think Facebook is trying to do a lot of things, obviously, to keep people on the site, keep users engaged from that standpoint. And the more they can do that, obviously, the more benefit for Facebook itself. But, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're using it correctly and you're doing things the correct way and using these tools that they're giving you, it's obviously more beneficial for your business as well. So, cool. Well, I think that's all we've got for you this week. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye now.